Welcome to University United Methodist Church. My name is Katie Flynn, and I'm going to be up here just in the beginning of the service. Also joining me up front is our pastor, Alicia Wood, and you'll see her later on. Whatever brings you here today, whether it's custom, crisis, or curiosity, you are welcome. God is ready and waiting for you. May you find peace here, peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with the world. I'd like to take a minute to welcome any new attendees this morning. If you are new, we'd like you to grab one of these brochures on your way out or at a downtime during the service. It just tells you a little bit about who we are and what we have to offer. You'll find a couple different things in your bulletin this morning. First, a yellow slip, and this serves two purposes. First side is for attendance, just so that we know you're here and we can greet you. The second side is for a prayer request. And if you have a prayer request you'd like to share with the congregation during service, we'll let you know when the ushers will come forward and collect those, and then we'll read them aloud. Let's see. The other thing in the bulletin is this blue slip, and it's asking for your favorite hymn. We are going to have a hymn sing Sunday on September 1st. So please, we encourage everybody to put down your favorite hymn and put this in the offering plate so we can collect those and put it into a service for you on the first. The deadline is next Sunday. I have several announcements, but let's have Jeannie do hers first.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Finlayson-Schuler, head of your Reconciling Ministries Network team, and I invite you to join me at the Pride Parade at the New York State Fair this Friday. The parade steps off at 6 o'clock. We have tickets for y'all to get in if you want to march in the parade. So see me after church.
Also on the 23rd, I want to bring everyone's attention to the announcement down at the bottom of the front page of the bulletin. Our congregation member, Nicole Wheel, will have his oath of citizenship ceremony on August 23rd at the Daniela's Events and Catering Steakhouse at the fair. And that's actually going to be at 10 o'clock in the morning, not 11. And we encourage everybody that can be there to come and celebrate this great occasion. What's that? Nicola is becoming a citizen of the United States, so we are so excited. Let's see. Also, Pastor Alicia will be on vacation tomorrow through Labor Day. So if you need her this morning, grab her quick, although I'm sure there's going to be a line. And then last, the United Methodist Church has drafted a petition addressed to Representative John Kako, asking that he take immediate action regarding the inhumane living conditions at the Board of Detention Centers. If you would like to add your name to this petition, please see Nelson Price. He's over there after church. He's got the petition, and we can all sign it. And let us continue our time of worship.
Good morning. So it's time for our summer hymn sing. We have just a couple more Sundays left, so before the whole service hymn sing. But we have the numbers up there, that have been called. But if you have another number, and if you haven't had a chance to request the hymn, raise your hand, and we'll try to get it in. Jane. 150. I heard that. Another one out there. Yes, Katie.
7-11.
I'm sorry?
7-11.
7-11. Angela.
191.
Okay.
Good morning, everyone. How are you? Are we well, church?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Great. Well, I am Pastor Alicia. I am the pastor here, and I'd like to send a warm welcome to each and every one of you here. This summer, we are using doors to remind us of being locked out, being on the outside. And while we may not want to think about it, also locking others out. What does it feel like to be an outsider? Who is our neighbor? The parable of the Good Samaritan reminds us that the outsider is our neighbor, perhaps even more a neighbor than the so-called insiders across the street. Neighbors act with love and grace when it is least expected. Who are the neighbors in your life, and how are you called to be a neighbor? Inviting and welcoming in spite of perceived differences and disagreements. With respect and gratitude for the original custodians of this land, we would like to acknowledge this morning, with respect to the Onondaga Nation, the fire keepers of the Haudenosaunee, Haudenosaunee Confederacy. I was looking at it phonetically and it didn't work. The indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands we stand today. I bring this up because we are going to be talking about the Good Samaritan and about travelers. So, will you please stand in body or spirit and join me in the call to worship? God, you call us to be in relationship. God, you call us into a community. God, you call us into community. Oh God, you are the source of human dignity, and it is in your image that we are created. Pour out on us the spirit of love and compassion. Grant that we may always promote the justice and acceptance that ensures lasting peace and embraces our differences. Help us to remember that we are one family. Amen. So look around. You are surrounded by the beautiful diversity of people, the people of God. This is God's family. Before you settle in your seats, please take a moment to connect with your neighbors and share with them the boundless love of God, reassuring them, peace of Christ be with you. Now when the music begins, it means it's time to return to your seats.
God welcomes all, strangers and friends. God's love is strong and it never ends. God welcomes all, strangers and friends. God's love is strong and it never ends.
Good morning. I noticed we don't have any children under age 10 today, so I thought that the children of God, meaning all of you, could help me with the children's time today. You're going to come up? All of you, you might not all fit, but good idea, John. So today we're going to talk about random acts of kindness, or maybe not so random. I'm hoping that a few of you will share with me some times where either you have done something kind for another, or another has done something kind to you, or you've witnessed kindness. So do we have anyone here who would be willing to share something? And I'm going to write it down on this piece of paper, this big piece of paper, and as you leave today, you're welcome to write more down on this piece of paper. Okay, so I'm hoping three people will be brave enough.
I went to a funeral service for somebody who kicked me off her Facebook page a few years ago because she's a person grieving. So I felt, as I said to her, my heart needed to go.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind that Pastor Alicia came to see me in the hospital.
You're welcome.
This is just a positive thing I read about in the news, on the news app, and I just thought it was such a sweet, brief story. A boy somewhere in this country who's being bullied was given a dog with six legs.
Oh.
So now they each have a friend.
That's so sweet. We have another? Okay.
Pastor, I have thanked you before, but I want your congregation to know how grateful I am for you. I'm Gertrude, 72, living with the virus for 28 years, but I came for breakfast one morning a few months back, and she just listened to my story, and you know, what I have gotten is over the years, get used to the rejection. And what she did was say, can I take video so I can show people, you know, how good God is. He's, you know.
Okay, our last one.
I was watching the news the other day, and a kid who has, cerebral palsy, he was afraid to go in the water, so two kids helped him go on a water slide at an amusement park. And that was so cute that I might want to help somebody like that someday.
Nice.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for sharing. There is so much kindness when we just pay attention. So Jesus' question that we'll hear about later in our scripture, which one was a neighbor, reverberates down through the centuries. Will you please stand in body or spirit and join me in singing. Wait a minute. You know, I'm going to say a prayer, because usually I say a prayer with the children before we move forward. So let's say a prayer, and then we'll sing. You're ready, aren't you, Jenny? You ready to sing? Okay, will you pray with me? Loving God, we are so grateful for all the kindness in this world. We know that you play a part in that. We know that you play a part in getting each of us to be kind to another person, and you play a part in other people being kind to one another. And today, we're going to think about and pray about who is our neighbor and how we might respond to them. So be with us today in all our energy and joy and compassion. And I pray this in your name. Amen. Okay. Will you please stand in body or spirit and join me in singing Hymn for Refugees. It's a new hymn with a familiar tune.
When children scream from tears, where their friends all to wait, when signs tell families don't pass outside our nation's gate, oh Lord, who welcome children and loves each little one, we cry, where is compassion? We pray, what have we done? When neighbors seek asylum as days and weeks drag on, when dreams they dream of freedom, while we make fences strong, oh Lord, who said God's kingdom will welcome those in need, we cry, where is the welcome? What have we done indeed? When travelers on their journey walk on unblistered feet, as they look for a country where peace and justice, if faith can topple mountains, Lord, what will churches do? Will we reach to the suffering? Will we in them see you? We ask, what should we do? Are we our neighbor's friends? The challenge isn't new here. You've shown how love extends. May we cry out for justice till others need not cry. Till no one waits outside.
Please be seated. The story of the Good Samaritan is not just two people passed by the injured man and one stopped. The identities of the different travelers carried a very important part of the message for its hearers. Jesus is questioning the religious authority and nationalism at the very core of his hearers' identity. We are reading Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37 from the paraphrased translation, The Message. I hope that this, the somewhat different phrasing will help us hear the story in a new way. Just then, a religion scholar stood up with a question to test Jesus.
Teacher, what do I need to do to get eternal life?
What's written in God's law? How do you interpret it?
That you love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and muscle and intelligence, and you love your neighbor as well as you do yourself.
Good answer. Do it, and you'll live.
Looking for a loophole, he asked,
well,
or she asked,
just how would you define neighbor?
There was once a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. On the way, he was attacked by robbers. They took his clothes, beat him up, and went off, leaving him half dead. Luckily, a priest was on his way down the same road. But when he saw him, he angled across to the other side. Then a Levite religious man showed up, and he also avoided the injured man. A Samaritan traveling the road came upon him. When he saw the man's condition, his heart went out to him. He gave him first aid, disinfecting and bandaging his wounds. Then he lifted him onto his donkey, led him to an inn, and made him comfortable. In the morning, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take good care of him. If it costs any more, put it on my bill. I'll pay you on my way back." What do you think? Which of these 3 became a neighbor to the man who was attacked by robbers?
The one who treated him kindly.
Go and do the same.
This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. So this morning, I'm actually going to read a sermon by Nadia Boltz-Weber. She is a theologian and a pastor in the Lutheran Church. And as I read this, it was exactly what I feel we need to hear today. So know that this sermon comes from Nadia Boltz-Weber. And if you want to know more about her or what she looks like or how she talks, there's a lot of information on her, and you can Google her later. So here we go. A man was traveling on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho when a group of robbers or terrorists or racist cops attacked him by a suicide bomb or an AR-15 assault rifle or by shooting him as he lay on the ground, and they left the man for dead outside the airport or on the floor of a gay nightclub or in a Walmart or in a car with his girlfriend, or along the route of a protest march. And the entire assault was captured on a bystander cell phone and immediately uploaded to Facebook within seconds. A Methodist pastor walks by and is so absorbed in watching the video of the attack and formulating her perfectly articulated outrage on Twitter that she doesn't even see the beaten man that is literally right next to her. She wants so badly to be the good ally that she misses an opportunity to show compassion to an actual human being right in front of her. Then the director of a nonprofit walks by and is too burdened by the way in which he himself is complicit in the availability of the weapon or the bad conditions of the road or the rigged economic system that contributed to the man traveling alone on an unsafe road, that he chooses to not even look up from his Poetry Almanac app. And he too missed the chance to show mercy. Now, by the time these 2 have passed the man, hundreds of thousands of people have left horrible comments on the video of his assault, either in turn expressing racist thoughts about why it was his own fault, or rants about the Second Amendment. And then a minute later, we all are posting comments about how this is all about the robbers, when suddenly Salon.com has reposted the Facebook video of the assault along with an article entitled, "Why Everything You Think About Robbers Is Wrong." And then 1 minute later, Salon.com posts the Facebook video of the assault along with the article titled, "The Problem with Commenters." So now, by the time the Samaritan comes along and sees the man who was robbed and assaulted, gives him water in a Clif Bar, dresses his wounds, gives him a ride to a hotel, stays the night with him to make sure he is okay, and pays the Marriott bill in full, well, by that time, the media has already posted thousands of articles about how often these attacks happen, and there is a 24-hour-long news cycle that shows the video of his assault over and over and over, and HuffPost and CNN and Slate have all now told the story of the assault from every angle imaginable. It's all anyone is talking about, so it starts to feel like that's all there is. But then you realize there is absolutely no mention of the Samaritan. They never once mention the kindness. Violence is highlighted and mercy and generosity are ignored because mercy and generosity make bad news. I'm not sure about anyone else, but this week it started, and every week, it's starting to feel as though our newsfeed, TVs, and radios have been replaced with some sort of an atrocity of the day calendar of terrorist attacks and police shootings and hate crimes. Well, this Nadia was lamenting about this, and a woman from her congregation named Megan came in and shared these words of wisdom from Stephen Gould. And he wrote these words after 9/11. Good and kind people outnumber all others by thousands to one. The tragedy of human history lies in the enormous potential for destruction and rare acts of evil, not in the high frequency of evil people. Complex systems can only be built step by step, whereas destruction requires but an instant. Thus, in what I like to call the great asymmetry, every spectacular instant of evil will be balanced by 10,000 acts of kindness, too often unnoted and invisible as the ordinary efforts of a vast majority. We have a duty, almost a holy responsibility, to record and honor the victorious weight of these innumerable little kindnesses when an unprecedented act of evil so threatens to distort our perception of ordinary human behavior. So those were Stephen Gould's words. Now I go back to Nadia's. So, church, I stand here to say that I was so despondent about our atrocity of the day world, and as I was at the same time reading this story of the Good Samaritan over and over, there was something that was glaring, a simple thing in this story that made all the difference for me this week. It's a thing called column inches. Look at the story again. The entire focus of the story of the Good Samaritan was not on the violence or idiocy. The focus of the story was mercy and loving kindness. The robbers get about a dozen words, but the Samaritan gets the rest of the story because it is not a parable of the robbers. It's the parable of the merciful Samaritan. And yet this week, I was afraid to look away and see any good because to do so felt perilously close to pretending that the violence wasn't bad. But in the story of the merciful Samaritan, Jesus told the truth about the seriousness of the attack. To be sure, he told the truth about the inadequacy of how the priest and the Levite responded. But on none of these things did he dwell. He used most of his canvas to tell a story, painting a picture, not of the assault, but of the generosity. Which means there is another option. The choice is not going between ignoring the violence and suffering and thus glibly using our privilege to insulate ourselves from this present darkness, or focusing exclusively on the violence and suffering and glumly using our access to social media to see nothing but the present darkness. Evil might have the news cycle, but it does not have the victory. The darkness does not get to have our hearts. It does not get to fill our minds. It does not get to steal our joy. And looking for the love, the light, the kindness in the world around us is not the same as pretending evil isn't evil. As Christians, we can sit in the suffering. We can name the evil forces of racism and gun violence. We can confess our own complicity, and we can lament and protest. But what we can never do is concede more ground to Satan than he himself has claimed. We will not be deceived into reversing the math and believing that evil has numbers, because it does not. Omar Mateen, the Orlando nightclub shooter, was one man. The man who walked into the Walmart in El Paso was one man. His act of terrorism and murder and hate had a devastating effect on so many lives and in the city of Orlando. But you cannot tell me that the evil of one man, one in response to millions of people all over the world marching in support and love for those affected. It's not vapid optimism, it's just math. What Omar Mateen intended for evil, God used for good. I will not choose nihilism. I won't do it. Not while I believe in the love of God. A God who defeated sin, death, and the devil. Evil rages, but it is also pathetic. So as an act of defiance tonight and today, we will surround the name. We will write down all the acts of kindness on our paper. If Stephen Gould's math is right, we need 10,000. But the good news is there is more than that out there. Because this world is not a parable of the robbers. This world is a parable of God's light, which shatters darkness. So by all means, let us name evil for what it is. Let's root out the sin and racism within us. Let's fight for justice. But then let us turn the cameras toward the light, lest we become so consumed by the effects of evil that we miss the chance to be kind to a stranger. And we miss the chance to stop and read to our kids, and we miss the chance to notice how acts of beauty and acts of kindness outnumber acts of evil by the thousands. Because in doing so, we hand evil a bigger victory than it earned, when in fact it has already lost. See, in the same 24-hour news cycle that can only speak of evil, babies were born, and people fell in love, and someone put an old lady's shopping cart back for her, and casseroles were brought to the homebound, and prayers were said, and little girls and little boys made brand new friends. And someone paid for the coffee of the person behind them. And children made perfectly misspelled protest signs. and people made up. And every second of every day, our God arrives unannounced in the merciful and loving kindness of other people, and in the midst of single acts of evil, I want to be a warrior of love. Amen. The Sojourner's website lists 22 references in the Bible to welcoming the stranger. Reverend Jose Luis Casal, Spanish teacher? Yeah? Okay. Has reframed the Apostles' Creed to show that first, the Bible story is a story of refugees and immigrants, and second, the Bible mandates us to welcome the stranger. And third, the Holy Spirit will guide and support us in that work. Would you please stand in body or spirit and join me in speaking the Immigrant Apostles' Creed. I believe in Almighty God, who guided the people into exile, the God of Joseph in Egypt and Daniel in Babylon, the God of foreigners and immigrants. I believe in Jesus Christ, a displaced Galatian, who his people and his home, who fled his country with his parents when his life was in danger. When he returned to his own country, he suffered under the oppression of Pontius Pilate, the servant of a foreign power. Jesus was persecuted, beaten, tortured, and unjustly condemned to death. But on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, not as a foreigner, but to offer us citizenship in God's kingdom. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the eternal immigrant from God's kingdom among us, who speaks all languages, lives in all countries, and reunites all races. I believe that the church is the secure home for foreigners and for all believers. I believe that communion of saints begins when we embrace all God's people in all their diversity. I believe in forgiveness, which makes us all equal before God, and reconciliation, which heals all brokenness. I believe in the resurrection. God will unite us as one people, in which all are distinct and all are alike at the same time. I believe in life eternal, in which no one will be a foreigner, but all will be citizens of the kingdom, where God reigns forever and ever. Amen. Will you please be seated? So today, feel free to be a singer or a signer or a listener as we begin our prayer time singing the refrain of God Help the Outcasts from the movie Hunchback of Notre Dame. You can follow along with Jeannie as Dennis plays. And while we're doing this, if you would like your prayer request read as a part of worship, please pass your prayer slip to the usher as they come down the aisle.
God help the outcast, hungry from birth, show them the mercy they don't find on earth. God help my people, they look to you still. God help the outcast, the children of God.
Let us be together in prayer as we first have a time of silence. Then I will offer a spoken prayer, and then we will speak the Lord's Prayer together. Please speak the Lord's Prayer in whatever way or language you feel closest to God. So let us take a deep breath, get comfortable in our seats, and allow the Holy Spirit to fill our consciousness as we open our hearts to God. Loving and merciful God, have mercy on each of us. You see, God, sometimes we do our very best, but sometimes we get so busy doing other things, we forget about this thing that you've called us to do, which is to be kind to one another. So God, please have mercy on us. After hearing once again the parable of the Good Samaritan, we will remember and we will act according to your will. Today we ask that your presence be known by those in hospitals, the doctors and the nurses and the patients and the support staff, that your presence be felt at the border with the guards and with those who are imprisoned there and those who seek a different and better life. We pray that your presence be felt in our communities, that instead of making violent decisions, we make decisions to talk things out, even when the conversations are so hard. We ask that you be in our churches, that our churches may be a place of safe haven, a place to build a relationship with you, and a place to build a relationship with each other. We ask that your presence be known to those who have no homes, who are hungry today, who feel broken and sad or depressed. We ask that you might teach us, tell us, guide us, how that we might be the merciful Samaritan to each of these. Will you please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us? Creator God, who are in heaven, blessed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We come together from across Onondaga County representing different cultures, generations, languages, abilities, and identities. Within our diversity, we are united as a community of strangers, mutually committed to Martin Luther King Jr.'s vision of the beloved community. Our offering is one way that we affirm our membership pledge to uphold this church through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service. Well, please don't forget to put your yellow attendance slips into the plate along with your offering as the ushers collect today.
Come the Father of every Glory to our Creator, and to the Christ, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
God's love is truly without end. Open your heart and take it in. You are not alone. Please remain standing and join me in our unison prayer of dedication. God of justice, give us ears to hear with you the cries of your children held captive by prejudice and racism. God of justice, give us eyes to see with you beyond your own prejudices to dignity and identity. God of love, give us hearts to love with you beyond the structures and systems we have created to keep your children in bondage. God of love, give us courage to seek reconciliation and to be mediators for peace and freedom for all. God of hope, use these gifts to be a blessing to all of your children. Amen. Please remain standing and join me in singing Sent Out in Jesus' Name. We will sing it three times. Here we go. First in English, then in Spanish, to the best of our ability, and then again in English. If you are not a Spanish speaker, you can experience a little of the challenge of adapting in a foreign land. If Spanish is your native language, enjoy encountering your words in this sacred space and forgive us for our mistakes.
Sent out in Jesus' name, our hands are ready now to make the earth a place in which the kingdom comes. The angels cannot change a world of hurt and pain into a world of love, of justice and of peace. The task is ours to do, to set it really free. Oh, help us to obey and carry out your will.
Enviado soy de Dios, mi mano listo está.
So that we will recognize injustices. God bless our ears so that we will hear the cry of the stranger. God bless our mouths that we so that we will speak words of welcome to newcomers. God bless our shoulders so we will be able to bear the weight of struggling for justice. God bless our hands so that we can work together with all people and establish peace. God, inspire our congregation to be a beacon of hope for the stranger, the refugee, the immigrant, the outcast, the outsider. Go now in peace. Amen.